the gag who drives it through.
We had the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again, and Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson, defenders backing off. Took a deflection! And there goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park! Twisting! Shouting! Shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Ahead of a massive week for Motherwell Football Club, myself, Jane Buster, will look back on the weekend's 2-1 victory over Hamilton and look ahead to the Betfred League Cup semi-final against Rangers at Hampden on Sunday. Jay, it feels like it's been forever since the last time you were on. Welcome back, and hello, Buster.
Good evening. Bye, cheers.
Well, we'll start with Saturday's win at Accies. Jay, we're getting quite used to winning games. It just another excellent 3 points. Certainly not the best performance of the season. It was hard fought, it was scrappy. Quite a lot of games at New Douglas Park tend to go that way. But the team showed fantastic resolve and fantastic character, fighting back from a goal down to register 3 points, move within a point of Rangers in fourth place in the table. Things are looking very good going into Hampden next week.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, obviously you go to New Douglas Park. It's one of those games where I think every time you go into it, you always look at Accies, they always tend to be everybody's favourites for struggling at the bottom, and you always tend to think that on paper we should be taking them to pieces, but it never works out that way. They're always right up for it. It's always a really difficult game. It's hard to tell how much of a leveller the plastic pitch is, but it's obviously not the best. You know, you just need to watch a game on it to see that. I think over the piece it was an interesting game, because I think over the 90 minutes I wasn't particularly impressed. I just didn't think we were particularly top class. We weren't as good as we have been, but I think that says more about just how good our team is at the moment, because when you actually look back, we could have demolished them about 5 or 6-1. McHugh could have had a double, Bowman should have scored, Tate probably should have scored, Moult could have squared it to Cadden at one point to put him through. We obviously got the 2 goals anyway, and yet at the game it just kind of felt as though we were lacking, you know, a creative spark. It almost felt like the game as though we weren't creating enough, and yet on reflection we created enough chances to win the game 2 or 3 times over. So I think that's testament to just how good a team we are at the moment, how well we're playing, the fact that we can go to Accies, we can pretty much, you know, control the game, control all the chances, win 2-1, should have scored more, and yet kind of felt a wee bit underwhelmed by it.
Bustard, again, standout performances. Peter Hartley notching another goal, he's second in a row in the league. And then there was Andy Rose, who I think has been a bit of an unsung hero. There is guys like Bowman that we sometimes say, but I think we do talk about Ryan Bowman quite a lot in the podcast. He's really proven some of his doubters, including myself, it must be said, wrong with his performances early on in the season. Andy Rose had a pretty slow start, to be fair, but he's really picked up and made himself a integral part of that central midfield pairing, so much so that his former teammate Gail Biggerama, still his current teammate, but his former teammate at Coventry, Gail Biggerama, is finding himself on the bench. And for a player that we know has got so much quality, that just shows the depth they've got and how well Andy Rose has done.
Yeah, I've always kind of been a fan of Andy Rose. I think as you said, he went about his business very quietly. What I thought he did in the first couple of games was win those second balls. You know, if the ball was getting bumped about in midfield or if it was coming loose, he was the guy who was picking up. He wasn't doing anything fancy with it or anything, but you know, the sort of criticisms I seen of him at first were, you know, he's an empty jersey, or he's doing nothing good, basically. But you know, I think if people watch your team, the whole sort of midfield, you see their places, you see how it works, and you know, as you say, there's guys on that bench as well who would easily come in and fill a space as well. You know, I was kind of surprised when, you know, we signed Liam Grimshaw when we did. You know, we all know Liam Grimshaw is a good player, but there's that many places, sorry, that many players trying to get those places in midfield. You know, it was a surprise that we signed him. But as you said, there's Peter Hartley as well has come in, and I think that's exactly what we needed. He's a bit older, so he's going to have a bit more experience. He'll talk, you know, done Kipre through those games. You know, when, because again, they're what, 21, 22, 23, something like that each. So he's going to talk them through it, and it's not too bad that he's chipped in with a couple of goals as well. So it's a great position to be in, to be honest with you. And as you know, as you mentioned as well, I'm a big fan of Ryan Bowman. I think I don't know if I've said that before last week or whatever, but I think that when he plays, you know, when he plays well, our front line plays well as well. You know, we're not just looking at William Oak to produce the goods. You know, you've got Ryan Bowman doing a lot of running and a lot of the hard work as well.
Yeah, and then I suppose you've got guys like, I know you talked about the strength and depth in the bench, but Craig Tanner as well. There's been a wee bit of debate regarding whether Tanner might come in for Bowman next week. Would you prefer to see Bowman keep his place and given the role you feel that he plays in ensuring their frontline perform?
Yeah, I'd keep Bowman in there all day, every day. Not just Bowman. I don't mean that just because it's Bowman, sorry. I mean, as Stevie Robinson said as well, I don't think that we should be changing the way we play for MD. And you know, with Rangers, they're a bigger team, bigger club. Whether or not they're better right now is debatable. You know, they're a few points ahead of us in the league. I've not been very impressed, or you know, at least they've not been as convincing as a Rangers team should be, especially when you consider how much money they've spent during the summer there as well. You know, the calibre of players that they're bringing in, at least the supposed calibre of some of them. But it's something which I think that we should stick to our own game plan. Obviously, you know, you make wee adjustments to counter, you know, the other team's strengths, but you stick to your own game plan, you play your own game, and I don't think that Stevie Robinson's going to be one of those managers who will change everything and, you know, try and shut up shop or anything.
Jay, just a wee bit more on the Aki's game. We talked about Peter Hartley, but I've been incredibly impressed by his contribution. We seem to have managed to find an upgrade for Ben Hennigan while still managing to make 400 grand or whatever the figure was in regards to Hennigan. A player like that, you can't see him being fazed by the big stage and playing against Rangers, whether it be at Hampden, whether it be at Ibrox. And again, I know that it's not the high pressure intensity derby that some of the other ones around the world are, but he came in and he led the line superbly on Saturday, and chipping him with the goals, we knew he was going to be a bit of a threat, but it looks like he might reach double figures given that he's already in three after six or seven games.
I think he's a cracking player, exactly what we've been needing. You know, you talk about guys like Kipre and Dunn. It's easy to forget that, you know, particularly with Kipre, because he's done so well since he came in, it's easy to forget that he is still a young player. And playing alongside Peter Hartley, and I mean, no disrespect to Ben Hennigan, but playing alongside someone with the experience of Peter Hartley will do someone like Kipre, you know, a great deal more than perhaps playing alongside Ben Hennigan would have. I think he's a fantastic defender. He's already shown that he's a real threat up the other end. Lots of experience. You know, he seems to, he screams players through the game. You know, he's constantly communicating. And even just in his press conferences, both before the Accies game and now, you know, some of the comments in the run-up to Rangers, it's obvious he's got a lot of confidence. He's not fazed by anything or anybody. And he's just a great player to have in your team. And I think that, you know, you talk about bits of business that we've done. Obviously, the Marvin Johnson sale was great for us. But in terms of players coming in, because we're not a team that can go out and splash money, I think being able to, you know, release or get, you know, move Ben Hennigan on for 400 grand and bring in Peter Hartley as a replacement and get that upgrade, I think has to go down as one of the best bits of business that we've seen at Fir Park for years, because it's phenomenal. You know, I think, again, no disrespect to Ben Hennigan, but you know, he was a good enough player, but I think it's only now that you realise that, you know, would you take him back in place of Peter Hartley? No, there's not one Motherwell fan on the planet would. I think it's a fantastic upgrade that we've managed to secure. And it just fills you with a lot more confidence going into a game like Sunday. You know, if you've got Peter Hartley at the back of that, at the centre of that back three, I think it will fill you with a lot more confidence than it would if you had, say, Hennigan still at the club. And that's invaluable, not just for, you know, the fans, but I think the players would probably feel that as well.
Trying not to jump onto the semi-final straight away, but I'm already going to do it, and I think I already have done it, to be fair. The team selection on Sunday, we've covered it slightly. The only selection issue I could see is perhaps Charles Dunn dropping out and bringing Stevie Hamill in. I think Dunn is quite erratic at times. His pace certainly gets him out of bother a lot as well, though, so it's quite a hard one to assess. Stevie Hamill came into the League Cup tie and dropped out straight away in the Sunday. I don't think he would have been risked on the plastic park unless it was completely necessary. He can possibly feel quite hard done to Stevie Hamill that he's not been back in the reckoning after his excellent performance against Aberdeen in the quarter final. Do you think Robinson might be inclined to go with experience there?
I don't know if you said the name, so I'm just going to jump in. The thing about that, I'm torn on it. I read it on, I can't remember if it was Pine Bover or Steamwell online earlier today, but I read the suggestion of Hamill and for Dunn, and I can completely understand the thinking about it. Of course, it's, you know, Dunn, yes, he's got pace, he can be good in the air, but he is erratic, he is prone to mistake. And Hamill obviously brings with him a lot of experience, and he would settle things down at the back. I think there's arguments both sides, though, because, you know, it's a big pitch at Hampden, and you're perhaps going to need Dunn's pace. You know, although he might be prone to a wee clanger here or there, it might be that you need someone like Dunn to be able to, you know, hammer it back if we find ourselves under a counter attack or something like that. So I'm kind of torn on it. And to be honest, I think Stephen Robinson is what he's done so far. I'm completely confident in Robbo. Whatever he picks, I'm happy to go with.
I think, to be fair, I'm the exact same. You know, Charles Dunn made a few errors on Saturday. Never came to anything, but, you know, they're just wee daft errors. And I think he'd done the same the week before as well. But I felt as if I was inclined to defend him, because although he's maybe not the best with the ball, the fact he's big, strong and really fast, I think it suits the sort of back three mentality. You know, you've got the other two who seem to be good enough on the ball. I don't really know how fast Kiprey actually is. I don't imagine Peter Hartley's, you know, lightning. So I think that he's, you know, with Dunn's pace, as Jay says, Hampden's a big park. It's maybe going to be that he would choose to have that bit of pace in there, you know, an extra bit of strength as well. You know, because from what I've seen for the Rangers so far, the, you know, their forwards, they look kind of, the Herrera guy looks kind of big and strong, and the wee Colombian boy, he looks, you know, he looks a wee strong guy as well. So, as Jay says, you know, I think we'll all trust Robinson no matter what he does, but I think he'll probably go for the pace over, you know, Stevie Hamill. And that's not a slight on Stevie Hamill, because Stevie Hamill was absolutely fantastic the last time we played, as we says, and, you know, I've always been a big Stevie Hamill fan all his career, so it's not slighting him at all, but I think it's just going to be a matter of Charles Dunn's little lightning, basically.
It took me about 8 minutes to start previewing the semi-final, Busta, and that's basically because of the buzz about having a semi-final to look forward to at Hampden, 6 years since we last kicked a ball there, and even in that day we didn't really kick a ball, the Scottish Cup final in 2011, but Cup success has passed us by in recent times. I know it's 20 odd years since we last won a cup competition, but runs to semi-finals and to the finals for a couple of years was at least the norm to get into the deep end of tournaments. It's not happened for 6 years, as I mentioned. This is one to really look forward to, even putting aside the fact that Celtic will be massive favourites to go on and win the tournament, no matter who goes through from this semi-final. But I think for us, we've just got to look forward to play the occasion, hope that, well, certainly on current form, we seem to be more than capable of being a match for Rangers. It's a massive opportunity with a final at stake. There should be a healthy Motherwell support going along. It's going to be a long week at work.
It will be, yeah. You know, the day was my day out, so my working week's not even started yet, but no doubt that'll drag in, as she says. But you mentioned it there, you know, it's the fact that we've not had, you know, two or three cup games in a row, basically, barring last season's group stages of the, you know, this competition itself. You know, we got to the final in 2011, you says, and to be fair, on that day we never turned up at all. You know, you'd expect us to at least try and give Celtic a game that day. We never. But it's a different, you know, it's different sort of different situation here. Obviously, the Rangers team, as I mentioned, you know, they're not as convincing as they probably should be. We know we've obviously had their troubles when they died and then came back for the dead and all that, and then worked their way through the leagues. You know, minus a wee 6-1 pumping and stuff like that. You know, so we've had their troubles, but you know, they've always had their fans behind them, and you know, they've always had that wee bit of income for there. They've obviously got troubles with Dave King and whether or not he's actually got any money and stuff like that now as well. But you know, they've got that many fans that their turnover will still be massive compared to ours. So they should be better than us, basically. They should be a lot better than us, they've always been a bigger club. But saying that, I hope we get it right up them, and it's I think they're there for the taking.
Jay, that's something that we discussed in the podcast a few weeks ago, in terms of so many occasions that we've said that Rangers are there for the taking. I suppose important element is not to look back in previous disappointments, previous fixtures that perhaps we should have had a decision or should have taken our chances. This is a one-off game. A winner has to be decided on the day, and if we go with the right attitude, then we certainly have a fighting chance. We've got a manager that's really brought an amazing amount of confidence, not just to the team, but to the supporters as well. It's a football club with a tremendous buzz about it just now, and it just seems to be falling completely at the right time this game.
Yeah, I mean, how many times in the past have we went into a game against particularly Rangers and sort of said the phrase, you know, we've never been in a better place to beat them than now, or something along those lines. And to be fair, that may have been mentioned in the past and it may have been true at that stage, but, you know, I would say that it's entirely correct for Sunday. We are, you know, we're 1 point behind them in the league. We're playing well. We've got a team of really good players. We've got a bench of really good players. So even if things aren't going our way at Hampden, we have, you know, pretty much six outfielders. Well, in fact, is it six? I can't remember how many subs you get in the League Cup. But we'll have a bench full of players who you can come on and can actually, you know, you will have confidence there that they can come on and really, really change the game. You have a manager who's not afraid to make changes, a manager who speaks with a lot of confidence, doesn't seem fazed by Rangers in the slightest. You know, I was reading earlier on Pye and Bovril about how even just this early on in the week, it's already refreshing the way we're approaching the game. You know, you don't have the usual,
kind of talk Motherwell down a wee bit, the usual, ah well, but Rangers are a big club, we're just going to go and see what we can do kind of thing. You know, I think it's quite obvious that Robinson and the players will be up for this. They'll be there to show what they can do, and they'll be full of confidence that they can go and win the game. And I think that it's, you know, it's got all the makings of a really, really good game. And I think if we do go there and we show the same attitude and the same desire and, you know, the same effort that we put into the quarterfinal against Aberdeen, I think we'll win. Because, you know, I still think Rangers are managing to sort of sneak results at the moment through a little bit of a fear factor. I still think there's sides that go into games against what is a very mediocre Rangers side thinking that, oh, well, it's big, bad Rangers, and that kind of gets them, you know, down a little bit. And if we go without that mentality, if we go, you know, believing that we're the better side, I'm really confident that we can win. I'm not going to say that we will because, you know, Bobby Madden's the referee, but we'll see what happens. I'm fully confident. And I, as I said, I think that when you've got Stephen Robinson in charge, just the things that he's done so far, and more importantly, the way he approaches games and the way he speaks about his players and he speaks about games, I think if you're a Motherwell fan, you can certainly go with a lot of confidence. You can go enjoy the day. And I wouldn't be surprised if we find ourselves in the final.
Just Jay, you touched on it there exactly. But, you know, as I was saying, they're there for the taking. I felt myself cringe a wee bit because we have said that every time we've played them, you know, after they came back. But this time, though, we're actually pretty decent, whereas we've been shite every other time. So that's, you know, I think that's, although we're saying the same things we've probably said before, I think that's the main difference, that, you know, we actually look like we've got a plan, we've got a, you know, an ethos of playing, and it's something that I think that will work well in our favour.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I think the thing is, like, particularly in recent years, when we've looked at Rangers and said, oh, there's never been a better team to beat them than now, it's because they've been relatively mediocre. And you're right, the difference now is the fact that they still are relatively mediocre, but we are, you know, a decent, decent team with, which seems to be showing no fear.
I suppose I don't want to turn that away from the positivity, but another element of this game on Sunday is it's an opportunity for the Cadens, the Moults, the Keepries. They're a showcase game. We've got a model that requires us to move our assets on, hopefully for top dollar. A game like this on the television at the National Stadium, it's a huge setting for these guys to showcase their abilities, isn't it?
Well, that's it. I mean, Louis Moult's a good example, just, you know, off the top of your head. I mean, if Louis Moult has aspirations to go and play at the highest level he possibly can, probably down south, which I don't think there's any doubt that he does want to, then this is exactly the kind of game that he needs to be doing it in. We all know how good Louis Moult is. We all know he can score loads of goals. We know how hard he can work. We all know he's got the right attitude, but if he's wanting to reach the highest point in the game that he can possibly reach, and let's not forget that he's not, you know, a relatively young player anymore. He's in, you know, 25. This is the perfect game for him to go and show that form and to show the, you know, the viewing public just exactly what he's capable of in a massive game against what is still seen as a big, big club across the world. So absolutely, any player that's in a claret and amber jersey who wants to, whether they're angling for a move or whether they just want to show that they can cut it, maybe they've, you know, been released by a club in the past and they want to show that, you know, what that club's missing, then this is the perfect stage for them to do it.
You mentioned there as well, Sparrow, that's the club's plan, basically, you know, bring these players in, bring them through, whatever, move them on. Unfortunately, Louis Moult, you mentioned, unfortunately, you know, his contract's running out, so, you know, see what happens here with him. But, for example, if Alan Campbell goes and has a great game on Sunday and somebody wants to sign him during the next window, because he's just signed a 4-year deal, so, you know, that's where we make our money in these sort of moves. But I think when it comes to Cadden, you know, Moult, whoever it may be, you know, we've got to just enjoy them while they're here. Granted, you know, it's going to be disappointing when they do leave. And there's got, you know, you seen me, I went in a huff when Louis Moult was maybe leaving during the summer. Now, our group chat was just me constantly moaning about the fact that he was maybe going to leave. But it happens, and, you know, no doubt when it comes about again, there'll be tears to my face again, and I'll be a moody wee shit as well. But it's one of the things, you just have to enjoy them while they're here and hope that these sort of occasions come about because these guys put on a show.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned that they're new contract for Alan Campbell, a 4-year deal, which was shocking to hear. You normally hear a couple of years extension, but 4 years, a massive statement of intent from the club. Stephen Robinson also penning a new deal, something that, again, has been a topic of conversation on the podcast. We weren't sure whether it was maybe too early to start tying things like that up, but the forums continued. Stephen Robinson, I don't think it'd be ridiculous to suggest that he's maybe catching the eye of a few teams elsewhere. Important for Alan Burrows and the club to sit down and get Stephen Robinson's future secure at Motherwell. We've done exactly that. And it also will make a massive difference, Jay. If you've got your manager tied down to a contract, he's shown his commitment to the club, and then you hope that your Caddens, your Molts, yes, I'm not saying it's going to be an absolute deal breaker, but it's certainly, it's a show from the manager that he's there, he's committed, and hopefully it will encourage some of the guys that are approaching the end of their deals to at least consider the offers on the table.
Yeah, I mean, when you sign new players, and it happened in the summer there, you know, it was just kind of the same rhetoric from each player, the idea that they'd been sold a vision by Stephen Robinson and what he was building at the club. And of course, if you've got a manager trying to sell you a vision and what he's building at the club, it's going to look a lot more attractive if he's going to be there longer than the season, because you can't really build a great deal in 1 year. So it even just gives him that kind of, you know, a little bit more strength to what he's trying to sell these players. I don't necessarily think that Stephen Robinson signing an extended deal is really going to make a massive amount of difference to guys like Liam Moore or whoever else. I think they'll make their decisions purely based on what's best for them. But just in terms of Stephen Robinson and the club as a whole, being able to sell a vision and being able to, you know, look at what they are now building, I think that it obviously puts you in a stronger position to do that if, you know, you as the manager has a deal that goes past the end of this season. And it just kind of shows you, because it was only a couple of weeks ago that I think it was yourself brought it up in the podcast. And although we were all in favour of extending Robinson's deal and just how, you know, big a turnaround it had been, considering it was only a few months previous that that people had been, you know, casting doubt over his appointment, I was still quite surprised at how quickly we've done it. And I think, again, that's testament to just how we're doing our business at the moment.
Yeah, as in Alan Campbell, busted, played in both the Scotland under-21 games, the fixture against England, and then the fixture against Latvia. A great experience for him, particularly the Latvia game, I suppose, finishing with a victory. Chris Cadden scoring in the game against England, albeit in a 3-1 defeat. Campbell has been absolutely tremendous this season. Actually, while I don't think that Carroll McHugh has hit the heights that he did last season, more responsibility, playing in a different position in the park as well. But Campbell has more than made up for any of McHugh's maybe questionable performances or slightly below par performances, with his 11 out of 10 performances almost week in, week out.
That's it. Yeah, as you say, he's been phenomenal. It just looks like a wee guy who wants to go out and play football. You know, the way he just throws himself into tackles, and you know, it just looks like somebody who wants to actually play football. And it's refreshing to see that, you know, he's, I watched the interview that he'd done after he signed his deal, you know, and it was refreshing for him just to say, you know, I've had a great week, you know, I'm in the team now, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that to make sure I stay in the team. I got called into the Scotland team, you know, that was great, and then you put a deal out in front of me, and there was no, you know, there was no doubt that I was going to sign it. You know, it's great to see that. But as you says, it's amazing that, you know, he's come, not necessarily amazing when you see how, you know, you see him play, but to think that we signed so many central midfielders and, you know, the star man basically is the guy who came through our youth academy. He was a couple of appearances last year, that was it, really sort of dropped away again. He's come back in, and you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he was the first name in the team sheet basically.
And I suppose, Jay, talking about the pressure and being desperate for these players not to be overawed on Sunday, Campbell, despite his his youth and his relative inexperience doesn't strike me as someone that will hold any fears going into this game.
No, I think it's something you can pick up from just the way he plays the game. You know, obviously, not only is he a young guy, he actually looks like a young guy. I was watching the video of him on YouTube talking about his new deal when he looks about 12. Yeah. But, you know, just the way he actually plays the game, you don't play the game that way in the top flight of Scottish football if you've got any kind of, self-doubt or any fear. The way he goes into tackles, the way, you know, Harry's players, you know, he's like a wee terrier in the middle. And that's just, you know, a mentality that he's got. And I think that you can see every minute he's on a park that he's not overawed by anything. And he's just another player to add to the list that I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what they can do on Sunday. Because I think, you know, we know what these players are capable of, in a run-of-the-mill game on a Saturday. But I'm genuinely excited to see what the likes of Cadden, what the likes of Moult, what the likes of Campbell, even, you know, Keeprey Hartley, what they can offer on Sunday. And, you know, I think Rangers are going to be in for a surprise, particularly with somebody like Alan Campbell, because I think if they're expecting to turn up and control the midfield and have plenty of time to create things, I think they're going to be a little bit shocked when Alan Campbell starts kicking ankles.
The referee for Sunday's game will be Bobby Madden, who officiated the opening game of the season and made quite a pig's ear of it, it must be said. Not the most popular figures in referees, although he has also taken charge of a high profile game between ourselves and Rangers, the first leg of the playoffs, which turned out alright. So I wouldn't exactly say that he's a referee that is going to be going out there completely biased. But there was an interesting interview after the Rangers St Johnstone game from Bruno Alves the other night, where he was basically moaning about the treatment he was having from Stephen McLean and a few of the other St Johnstone players, who I think essentially St Johnstone are a physical side. They were trying to rough him up a wee bit. He's a big bit of a boy himself. He's more than capable of taking care of himself. But that's just, for me, a wee word in the referee's ear, almost trying to get into the referee's head before a big match. Lumo will let Alves know very early on that he's there. You've just got to keep your discipline and try and avoid getting frustrated, because it's possibly an underhanded tactic. Possibly not it's not unorthodox by any stretch of the imagination. Players and managers maybe just releasing wee sound bites just to get into the referee's head and give them food for thought, I guess, Buster.
Well, we'll still have the Louis Moult to Rangers link anyway. That'll come about, what, Thursday probably? So we'll probably see that in the papers as well. But a mate of mine used to work with Bobby Madden, and he tells me he's definitely 100% a Rangers fan. Now, I'm going to assume the guy's professional enough not to let that bother him. But is he competent? I don't know. I don't think, you know, is he worse than Craig Thompson, who maybe we let slip under the radar there because we beat Hamilton.
But Craig
Thompson was absolutely fucking awful at the weekend. You know, but these sort of things happen quite a lot. You'll see it every time these sort of games come about. You know, the Rangers, the Celtic, whatever, you know, they'll have these wee sort of snippets about, this guy was kicking me or pulling me and he elbowed me all game. Watch out, ref, this guy cheats. And, you know, it's basically, as you say, it's quite underhand, but it happens all the time. And hopefully, as I say, I don't believe Bobby Madden will straight out be biased towards Rangers. But hopefully he's got his eye on the ball and he refs it to the best of his abilities. That's the nicest I can say about him, basically.
On the day, Jay, we're going to be, not surprisingly, vastly outnumbered in terms of support. It looks like Rangers will have 38,000 supporters with them at Hampden. Kind of pretty much, I think we're a bit ahead of where we expected to be in terms of ticket sales, which is certainly encouraging. An interesting bit of PR work from a local hotel during the week, or during the last week, which led to an apology, a bit of a half-arsed apology, it must be said as well, offering packages of hospitality no matter what team you support. The only problem was it was no matter what team you support, as long as it's not the local team that actually trains in your doorstep or Hibs. So essentially it was a Rangers or Celtic fans only package. Crap PR, really stupid, pretty disrespectful. But again, it's just this wee thing that, another thing to just kind of put up in the dressing room wall, I suppose. Just use it to our own advantage, to get a wee bit riled, to get a wee bit wound up. We're going to be playing against a bigger team, a better supported team. But whether they're better or not is a completely different matter. And I think if we can use all these wee psychological things to our own gain, then it could be quite a useful tool. We could actually be thanking DL Park for that come Sunday night or Monday morning when we sober up.
Well, firstly, I'm not sure I would say a better supported team. They've got more numbers, but when you look at the state of most of them, they're certainly, you know, it's quality over quantity where we're concerned.
I absolutely wasn't suggesting that for a second.
What I would say is, I know what you're saying. I'm not entirely sure that Liam Moult is going to score a hat trick because DL Park started dishing out hospitality to Rangers and Celtic fans.
I didn't want to say that either.
I mean, it is a farcical decision, by the way. It's so pathetic. I mean, I don't understand how you can think that it's a good idea. And it's so obvious that there's going to be a backlash. But no, you're right. I mean, anything that we can use to our advantage that can get the... But again, see, to be honest, I don't want to sound too overconfident or anything, but I just think that we're in a really good place at the moment. And I think Stephen Robinson just comes across so well. I've got complete faith in him. I think that you don't want to go too far down that road and you've got guys going out there to kick folk. I know Peter Hartley's wanting to scrap, but you know, you don't have guys, you want to have them still switched on, playing their own game, focused on what we can do. So, you know, I'm more than confident in letting Robinson and his coaches staff send them out the way that we want to play, because again, it'd be nice even just to see us go on Sunday if, you know, we are to not, you know, manage the win. If we are to go out in the semi-final stage, then at least let's do it playing our own game. Let's not do the whole Mark McGee routine of you know, changing our entire team to try and play out a 0-0 draw. Let's go there. Let's build on what we've already done. Let's use our attacking players. Be comfortable at the back. Be confident that we're solid at the back. But go and attack them. Go and create things. Go and make it difficult for them and go and score goals. And to be honest, I've got no doubt that we will do that. So I'm more than confident in Stephen Robinson and his coaching staff to make sure that not just the way we line up, but also the mentality is right. And it's been a long time since I think we've been able to say that. And I just hope it doesn't come back to bite us in the arse.
Also with the... With the ticket numbers, I believe from what I've read, you know, it might just be a cheap part of it basically, but I've read that we'll sell about 9,000 tickets. Now that's double what we get at a home game basically, and that's including the away fans as well, double our average attendance. You know, I've seen things on Twitter and on Facebook, people, Rangers fans basically having a go. I actually seen one tweet from a guy who I believe is local, saying, "I can't believe Motherwell can't sell more than 10,000 tickets for a National Cup semi-final." But that's because of ghouls like you, mate. If you live in the area and you go to fucking Ibrox every week.
No, it's mental. They're absolute morons.
And I don't really get the crowd wanting either. Is it really a surprise that, you know, Motherwell don't have 30,000 fans? Are you really that shocked that we can't sell more than 10,000 tickets for a National semi-final? I don't understand it. Hopefully when we fuck them 3-0, they can come back and say, "Well, we had four times the amount of fans there than you did."
Certainly right. And then also, we've also managed to get crowd wanking on the podcast as well. That's
Well, I mean, keep in mind, we are talking about a support that's got many of them who basically feel so shite about their own lives, they get off on like historic battles and religious hatred. So being able to get off on the number of people that go to a football match probably is right up their street, or not.
Well, I was going to ask you before we kind of started to wrap things up. You had a daydream and Joe McKelvey then went out and priced up your daydream at 250-1. After this podcast, it's going to drop right down, because what I want you to do is actually recount this daydream of how Sunday's going to go, and then everyone else can get on because you've shared your vision with them.
All right, Paul Hartley header. Paul Hartley's going to make an appearance. that's how fictional this daydream was. Peter Hartley, Louis Moult in the first half, Andy Rose and Ryan Bowman in the second half, 4-0. 4-0 Motherwell, 250-1. And not a Rangers fan to be left by the 85th minute mark.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. So you've been given the heads up. You can go and take that further if you wish. Another good bit of PR and good bit of press from the club in terms of a local hospital visit last week. Louis Moult and Ryan Bowman. But it's tremendous that we've got a group of players. Keith Lasley was talking about it in a press interview a few weeks ago. It's been instilled in the guys that are joining the club that they have to be involved with the supporters, with the local community, further represented by all the players signing up for the Well Society as well. There's a real feeling of togetherness. That can't be an easy thing to do, going to the hospital, guys that have got kids themselves, meeting sick children. Taylor approaching his 21st birthday, very unwell. It's a fantastic thing to see, and the guys really represent themselves fantastically, but also represent the football club.
It's fantastic to see. You know, it's these guys taking time out to do these sort of things is fantastic. Don't get me wrong, you know, it happens at basically every club, but it's always great when you see it happening with your club and your local community, as you says. You know, even going back to when we beat Aberdeen, William Oates interview in the park when he's like, you know, this is what it's about, look at that, the passion of the fans, that's what it's about. It's good to see that, you know, the guys are buying into, you know, again, you know, the dream they're being sold, come here, get involved, it's a community club, you know, do your thing and you'll move on to bigger and better things, hopefully for yourself. But it's fantastic to see that, and you know, it nearly brings a tear to the eye, you know, when you see those guys who like Taylor, who are unfortunately really unwell, but you know, they're guys, local heroes, coming in to pay a wee visit and, you know, say hello. I think they, was it a signed football or something they had, I can't remember, I can't see the pictures, but I can't remember what it was, they brought them along as a gift, but absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's great stuff. We're really pushing on ahead of the release of Off Air 3, the launch night on the 10th of November. Just a few more interviews to finish up, and then we'll be over the line. The launch night itself, very few places left. We continue to confirm more and more names coming along. It's going to be a real night with many Motherwell legends there. They'll be taking part in the Q&A. We'll have live music from Weekend Debt and the Banter Thieves as well. It's looking like a fantastic night and one not to be missed. So there's 3 or 4 tickets left on the website. If you want to get along, you better move your arse and do it now, because I wouldn't expect them to last very long at all. Guys, thank you very much for your time tonight. I guess all that's left to say is good luck to everybody involved at the club on Sunday. It's an exciting week we've got ahead. We've got a great result to lead us into Sunday's game. I think we're all just desperate to get through the week and get to Hampden and Sunday, but it's certainly one to look forward to. This team have given us newfound excitement, newfound enthusiasm about going to the football again. And it would just be fantastic to see them go that one step further and achieve what we've been desperate to do and go on and at least contest a cup final. It would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
I'll be taking a leaf out of Jay's book and daydreaming my way through the working week. You know, as you say, I've got a long week ahead of me. So come Friday night when I finish and clock off, that'll be me. Keep myself calm on a Saturday. And then, you know, as you say, build up for a Sunday. It'll be a great day. And as you say, it's obviously you'd like a good result, but I'm sure everybody will enjoy themselves either way. But as you say, if I was too young in 91, basically. I was there, I was 7 years old, but you know, you don't really take up the
the moment of the occasion, you know, when you're that young. You know, it's good to see your dad happy and all that when you're that age, but, you know, basically what I'm saying is, if we go on and beat Rangers, I'd love us to get to the final, contest that final, win that final, so I can get pished.
It's something we have a great deal of difficulty doing at the best of times, so that winning a cup shouldn't... but yeah, it's such a big occasion. We're really looking forward to it. I don't think we've ever recorded a podcast ahead of a game of this significance, so let's hope the boys do it. It's certainly... I'll have reached fever pitch by Sunday morning, that's for sure. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday, maybe next Tuesday if we win on Sunday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
Satisfaction with a sacrifice. The only thing that's really true about